The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Let's Get Dressed. It's your host, Liv Perez. Today's guest is the one and only Claudia Saluski. She's what I like to call a modern day triple threat. She's a social media darling, she's an actress, and she's the founder of the body care line Cyclar, which I have to tell you guys is my new favorite thing on planet Earth. I don't know about you guys, but I was never really like a body moisturizer girly. Claudia sent me Cyclar. I opened the bottle and I swear to God, I felt like I was in one of those fragrance commercials, like elevated out of my body into the sky, into the heavens. It smells so good. And it's honestly such a luxurious experience to put it on. I have loved adding it into my routine and it's become like that time every day that just kind of feels like me time. So I'm a huge fan of Cyclar and I love what she's doing with the brand. But to top all of it off, she has absolutely killer style. From wearing archival Versace down the red carpet to attending the Prada show in Milan, Claudia has been documenting her life and looks online since the age of 13. And she's truly built a cult following on Instagram and YouTube. If any of you listening right now are major YouTube people and you haven't checked out her channel, you have to. I was seriously so blown away watching her videos. Her skill in editing, her vision, it's just an entire world that I love to spend time in. In today's episode, Claudia takes us inside her closet to share her best style tips, favorite new designers, and a peek inside her creative process with one of my favorite fashion stylists, Jared Elner. We also talk about what it takes to build a brand online, the re-rise of YouTube, and of course, her next chapter, Beauty Founder. I hope you guys love today's episode. If you have a chance before you start listening, make sure you go leave us a review in the Apple Podcast page. It really helps the show grow. Now let's go get dressed with Claudia Saluski. Welcome to Let's Get Dressed.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on. I've been like, you know, I've been like prying for months. I'm like, when is she free? I've been wanting you on for so long because I'm such a fan of everything you do. So I'm thrilled to have you here.
Thank you very much. Oh my gosh, I'm so honored.
Newly blonde too.
Newly blonde. We were just talking about this. I've been, I started maybe like 6 months ago and haven't been blonde properly since high school. I used to bleach my own hair with like those hooking, what are they called? Like the, you put on a cap and you literally like hook your hair through and then you just bleach
like
box
bleach?
Yes.
Girl, wow.
I used to do this in high school.
Girl, wow.
I dyed my hair every color. So it's very exciting to get to redo that, but in a massively professional.
Yes.
Correct
we both go to the iconic Matt Rez, who like really he's doing.
Yeah.
I feel like every time I see him, I'm in like Dexter's lab.
Yes.
Because he's like mixing things and it's like a,
it's a whole language. He's like 4 ounces of the 10-2-1 mixed in with the blah blah blah. Like it's
crazy.
Yeah.
And that's why he's the best.
I was just in his chair yesterday. We're blonder than ever.
I always do, of course, like a little Insta every social media stalk before someone comes on the pod. Mm-hmm. And I swear I have not wanted to be blonde. For those who don't know, I was born naturally blonde. Mm-hmm. I was like towhead blonde, like bright blonde. And then as I got older, it got a little sandy blonde, which apparently is a very natural thing to happen with hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And then I dyed it brown. Then I was like somewhere in between. And now I've like been a brunette for a long time.
The brunette looks so natural on you.
Thanks.
It's like,
I'll take it.
But I'd love to see you blonde.
Well,
too.
You last night, I was like literally looking through all of your content before we do this episode. And I was like, she's making me want to be blonde.
Oh.
I know, I've not had this desire in like years. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh my
God. I also think blondes, it's all about your eye color.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matt was saying that yesterday where like we've been slowly, gradually kind of lightening it up. And he was like, I think this is the lightest we should go because it's, I'm having it match with your eyes.
Scientist.
I just left it at that. I didn't ask any other questions. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, yes.
I love hearing how really intentional you are with the way you get dressed. Mm-hmm. I feel like you are probably almost on par with Matt in terms of science. But I want to hear how you are getting dressed every day. It's a question we love to kick off this pod with. Is kind of what's your ethos? What's in your mind as you're like going in your closet every day to get dressed?
Yeah, I think I feel like I've had like a real style switch in the last couple years. I kind of went through like that quintessential closet clean out where you reach an age and a point in your life where you realize like, oh, I really just want to be investing in like good quality basics and just good quality clothing that like I can imagine myself wearing a million times and sort of like shedding off the kind of trendier pieces that you like pick up along the way that maybe don't totally feel like you, but like you buy them because whatever, they're hot in the moment, you know? And I feel like in terms of like my everyday, what I'm wearing, I definitely, there is like a difference between like if I'm leaving the house or if I'm not, right? Like right. if I'm not leaving the house, but I still want to get dressed to like feel good about myself, like it will just be like Levi's jeans and like, you know, a loose t-shirt. I'm always wearing like low waist jeans. They just are more comfortable. Obviously, they're super popular right now, just sort of like that style and silhouette, the kind of low rise.
No, but let's be real. Like a high waist at home is not okay.
It's too tight.
It's not okay.
You know what? It's so interesting. I feel like when the like low rise came back, everyone sort of like, not everyone, but a lot of people realized
that we've been corseting ourselves for 10 years.
But
yeah.
I also felt like there was a negative backlash that was like, oh no, we are not bringing back the early 2000s, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, y'all, this is comfort.
This is comfort.
I just like, I think about all the dinners that I've had where like the top button, like halfway through dinner, you're having to undo it.
And it's digging into my internal organs.
Yes. Yes. Like, okay. So we're low rising these days. You know what I mean? But in terms of going out, I feel like it is definitely my approach with like my style. I like reach for a few things. I think at this point now I'm really understanding like the shapes that look good on my frame, you know? So oftentimes it'll be, oh, yep, I'm wearing it right now, like a higher neckline, for example. Mm-hmm. And just kind of understanding like also the science behind an outfit and the balance of an outfit, whether that means mixing up different materials, whether something is matte or shiny or something is looser. And so we're going to, you know, something's looser on the bottom, so we do like a tighter top, whatever. Like I'm really enjoying playing around with sort of like the balance of that. And then in terms of like my personal style, I have found to really be gravitating towards like feminine, timeless pieces, but then edging it up with my accessories and my bags and my shoes. And I don't even know if today's like a good example of it because I was running out the door. And so like, I kind of wish I was wearing a giant silver cuff right now and like maybe like more interesting earrings or something. But like, this is so simple to say, but I've been loving like putting together an outfit and being like, okay, is this going to be a gold outfit, a silver outfit, or a mixed metal outfit? And like, kind of going crazy with like the rings, the bracelets, you know?
Cool. Like for you, top of mind is jewelry.
Yeah, randomly.
No, I love that.
And
I
actually hardware,
was you know? Going to say, as you were talking about earrings, mm-hmm. I was like, oh girl, earrings come for me last a lot of the time. Like,
interesting.
Earrings mm-hmm. for me are like that bag switch that it's like, which one should I wear? I just like, it's an afterthought for me. Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. cool that that's your like MO from the start.
One of my like recent fits that I was really proud of and just felt very myself in it was for New Year's Eve. I wore like a very simple, sleek, like black outfit. It was just like a tight shirt, a black skirt, black boots. But I had these giant Simon Miller like silver ball drop earrings.
Oh, I love those.
That just kind of like hang at your jawline. And they kind of looked like, I wore them because like I just thought like the ball's dropping. I'm going to wear balls.
Love.
With like a cheetah print coat as like the wild card in the outfit. But
love theme.
But it was like, it was the earrings that like led me to that outfit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I love that. Really interesting. And something I've been trying to get into a little bit more is my jewelry world. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you are someone who, every time I see you on Instagram, I'm like, okay, she's wearing something cool and different, mm-hmm. and I'm intrigued. Do you have any designers right now that you're like loving, eyeing, need in your closet? Maybe you just got in your closet, mm-hmm. something that's just top of mind for you.
Oh my gosh, I'm trying to think. I mean, I definitely, I feel like I'm saying this as a collective. This isn't revolutionary at all, but I'm like so inspired by Miu Miu and sort of like the office chic, sexy kind of energy that I feel like they poured into these last few years. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. I also feel like from what you were, first of all, your outfit is very Miu Miu.
It is definitely giving Miu Miu today.
But also in so many things you just brought up, whether it's like wanting to be home and be comfortable, but also this like feminine classic where the accessories are the thing that's speaking. Like their most recent show, the clothes were quintessential everyday workwear, but the accessories were like wild. Like giant gloves that like went up to the top of your arm, gorgeous pearl necklaces. Like I understand why it resonates with you.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. That's sort of like the uniform and like formula I've been playing around with because it's just been rewarding in that I feel like I've been investing in pieces that I do continue to be excited about wearing. And if the thing that I'm switching out is like, what sort of bag? Is it going to be more of like a boho style bag, or is it going to be more of like an edgy kind of going out night bag? You know what I mean? Like, I think, yeah, sort of like this wave of chic office wear, you know, like whether it's like the trench or, you know, suit pants, I'm all for it. I feel like it's very classic, and I jumped on that. It's weird to say it's a trend because it is so classic and timeless, and I don't think it'll ever be out of style, but I just feel like our society's just like has embraced it.
Yeah, definitely.
Very intensely.
Definitely.
And I am definitely guilty of that as well. And like so stoked to be like sitting in this pocket and enjoying those sorts of pieces. And I think it's fun to like take something that maybe traditionally is like a daytime outfit, and how do we edge it up and make it look a bit sexier and a bit edgier? You know what I mean?
All in the accessories.
Yeah. I really feel like styling and choosing your outfits, it really is emotional. It
definitely
it completely alters how you feel about yourself and the rest of your day and how you carry yourself, and like it makes such a difference. This is like sort of now also playing into like sometimes I'll see this on TikTok or just like a little quote about it or something, but like, you know how we as humans always feel the urge to like save the bougie candle for the right moment when someone you want to impress is at your house, you know? And it's like, I like the idea of like, just burn the candle, burn it for yourself. And I feel that way about clothing.
Yeah.
You know, I like a few months ago thrifted like a white shirt from The Row. So it was still very expensive because it's The Row, but like, for a while, I was so scared to wear it because it's a white shirt, you know,
yep.
Risky. I'm also getting over that as well. Just like, okay, you're buying these high quality pieces to wear them.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And
because
for you.
They will last.
Yes.
And you do it for you. And I think that's a big thing as well. It's emotional.
You work with Jared Elner, who's one of my favorite people on planet Earth. I love him so much.
He's
and
so
I
sweet.
Love his brain.
I know.
I just want to be a fly on the wall inside of his brain and like see what that's like.
I know.
And you guys have created so many moments together that just every time I see you on the carpet, I'm like, yep, nailed it.
Thank you.
Erdem, Vintage Versace, Moschino. Like, I'm always like, this is right.
I know. He's so good.
He's so good.
He really like... The thing I appreciate, there's so many things I appreciate about him. One of them being he is really looking at the entire look. He is very involved with helping choose the makeup, the hair, knowing how that interacts with an outfit, creating mood boards. And like, he certainly also has really helped me to like embrace styles that maybe I would have been a little bit too nervous to wear. I recently wore this like Givenchy blue, very see-through, yes,
so good
dress, and like we added some layers underneath so that it wouldn't be too nipply, just like the right amount of nipple,
because there's a right amount of nipple, guys. There's a right amount.
It was a very, very see-through dress, and I remember initially for that one, I love like thick structured material,
mm-hmm.
and that was like kind of my note. I was like, can you pull some pieces that just kind of have like thick structure to them? That's what I'm feeling. And he did. And he's like, but also this. And of course, it's the one we end up going with. And I think it's really fun to have someone that you can really like collaborate with and try different things. And yes, he is such a genius. And like, he really just understands how everything is supposed to sit on a body, if that makes sense. Like, we are going in and we are like deconstructing. We are like, you know what I mean? Like, it's fun. It's such a like different version of getting dressed. It's very different from like day to day.
I mean, it's a science, and I think the collaborative aspect of it really shines through.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of my favorite looks was the Erdem look that you wore to the Academy Museum.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come together? Because that feels so quintessential you.
Oh my
the
gosh.
The gloves, the like exposed kind of bra moment. It was so beautiful.
It
did
came
you
together
do your
so
own hair and makeup for that?
I did.
I remember you posting that being like, iconic. Like, I was like, I was so impressed.
Thank you. There is a part of me that is very low maintenance and maybe also just like stubborn, where sometimes I don't even know. I think I knew what sort of hair and makeup I wanted to do for that look. And I thought, oh, well, I can do that.
It's the slick back bun. It really gets me.
It's the slick, yeah.
If it's a slick back bun, I'm like, fuck it, I'll do it myself.
Exactly.
And then from behind, you'll see like 1,000 pins and clips. And I'm like, it's all good, guys.
It's fine. It's fine.
You guys don't care about them from the back.
We're getting 3/4. We're getting front of, you know, the face. And in that case, it really worked out. Here's the thing is like, I really enjoy doing my hair and makeup. Sometimes it is not the most reliable. Like I don't know.
Some days the wing doesn't work.
Exactly. You get it.
Some days the wing just doesn't work.
Makeup artists know how to avoid. And should know how to avoid. I don't know how to, so I was just crossing my damn fingers that night.
I mean, you looked beautiful. All came together so beautifully.
But it really came together so last minute. Like, I think our fitting was like a couple days before, and it fit great. We didn't have to alter anything. And then it was so last minute to the point where, like, literally, like, on the day as I'm getting dressed for the event, he had sent over like maybe 4 different gloves, and so we're on FaceTime and I'm trying on like a leather glove, I'm trying on, you know, all these different gloves, and we landed on this like see-through black sort of mesh glove and loved kind of like the wrinkles happening and
stunning.
All the texture.
I love a glove.
Anyway, so sometimes it's wild. Like, that is definitely one of my favorite looks as well. And it's funny how sometimes the looks that are really like just kind of thrown together in a frenzy can ultimately turn out to be like, you know, really special.
Yeah, it's like beauty in the chaos.
It really is.
Beauty in the chaos.
It is.
I was looking through some of your looks and I actually noticed, and I would love to hear if this is intentional or not, because this is something that my fiance and I go through all the time. Mm-hmm. Do you and Phineas match?
Oh my God. Yes.
So this is like literally, this is a conversation as Alex and I are going to a wedding. Mm-hmm. And he's like, shouldn't we like compliment each other? I see you guys match so wonderfully, and like, I need to know what goes into that. Like, help a girl out.
Here is the interest. So here's the very silly thing about this. We have only ever one time intentionally matched on a carpet, which was, I forgot what year, but it was a Grammys carpet, and we both were wearing like silk tuxedos. I was wearing a light blue one, and I believe it was Gucci. We were both wearing Gucci like silk suits, and But again, that like sort of happened by accident, or maybe I'm just clueless and actually it was like entirely planned, but it ended up being like the thing that I pulled. And then later I found out he pulled the same thing and we're like, oh, wait, OK, perfect. But every other red carpet occasion, I am never knowing what that man is wearing. It is just happening by accident. Here's the thing. I can always sort of rely on the fact that he probably will be wearing something neutral and black and, you know, nothing too crazy. I've like really enjoyed seeing kind of like where his style is evolving on the carpet. Like, he's finding cool kind of edgy moments too, which is like fun to watch. But the way that we match so much in our day-to-day lives is insanity. Like, we're going out to dinner with a friend and we look in the mirror and we're like, no, one of us needs to change. Like, we're both wearing a leather jacket with like a brown sweater underneath and like black pants. And we're like, no, 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 this is so embarrassing.
It happens.
It really happens. And so, and I'm always stealing his like Carhartt jackets and stuff.
Always.
So
that's the best.
Yes, like, the jacket.
The secondary closet of menswear is amazing. Yes. I'm always stealing Alex's like Prada button down or like things like that I just love and feel just add a little oomph
to
my look.
It's a privilege.
Yeah, it is privilege. I want to talk about YouTube a little bit because it's a platform that I am really curious about. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I personally never got into. So my curiosity like knows no bounds.
Oh my gosh.
But you got on when you were like 13, no?
Yes, back in 2009.
You're 27?
I just turned 28.
Okay, so we are like, I think that I missed YouTube land by like 2 years.
By a sliver.
By a sliver. Mm-hmm. It was not part of my orbit. I don't have any friends who watch YouTube, but everybody who's like 25, 26, obsessed. Yeah. It's like it missed my generation or I can't even call it a generation. It missed my age.
Yeah, right.
So even when I was 13, 14, it wasn't part of my orbit. So please tell me all about getting on YouTube at 13 years old.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I remember YouTube was like such a tiny little fetus platform when I first started, and can really think about like the 5 creators that were like dominating that platform, and an online like beauty community slowly started forming. Blair Fowler, Michelle Phan, and I certainly found myself watching all of those videos and feeling very inspired by just like the idea of filming and editing. Like, that's really where my interest sort of lies with YouTube. I love to edit. I love getting crazy with the edits.
I got to tell you, it not being my first platform, uh-huh. I went down like a spiral on your YouTube. And I've got to say, like, I was really impressed. Like,
thank you.
Of course, we meet other creators in this world and other people on Instagram. And I will say that there are a few people who I'm very inspired by their creativity. And it was funny. I was watching your Milan vlog. And one of those people is you. And the other people is Zenya. You guys both have incredible creative vision. Like, your ability to edit, I would love to hear more about that process. Like, are you going into each video with this idea in mind? Or is it kind of like, you know, a domino? It's one thing after another.
It is so different every video. Right now, I'm sort of like embracing a new sort of format, which is I took kind of a year off YouTube last year and just needed to pull back and wanted to. I was craving privacy and just needed to like figure out what my next sort of chapter would be, because you do anything for 10 plus years, like you got to switch it up. You know what I mean? And especially when you're voluntarily throwing so much of your life online. And so this year I've sort of been embracing like monthly vlogs. So I just film random moments and clips of my life across an entire month. And then that last week I scramble, I edit all together, I figure out a way that it like pieces together nicely and then upload it. And it's so far like the response has been wonderful and I've been having so much fun with it. And it's so the first thing I'll say is it is such a story in my brain. Like I really am, any video you're watching, nothing is in chronological order. Like if my friend were to watch it and be like, my birthday definitely happened before all of those other clips, but you put my birth, like, but it's because for starters, you have to keep people engaged, right? And so knowing how to create like variety within your content and knowing like if this is a talking clip, we're going to follow that with a montage before we show the next sitting down topic. Like talking clip, you know? So there's versions of it where it is kind of like, yeah, you're wanting to keep the audience engaged. But the other part of it is I love to be inspired by, let's say like right now it's definitely music. And so I will sit down and I pull a lot of music from like Epidemic Sound because they have like a very large royalty-free library, and you know, you really got
to dig. The creator girlies love Epidemic Sound.
They really do.
It's actually the bane of my existence, though. Like, I'm on there for, like, 3 hours.
It is, yes.
If there's anything that I could change about social media right now, it would be, like, the access to the music thing. Like, the Instagram, finding music for my reel, and, like,
it's like
I'm stressed thinking about it.
If we could use actual music,
that would be fantastic.
Oh my God. I genuinely, everything would be so different. And so, yeah, I'm making so many playlists on Epidemic Sound, literally so that it can help curate sounds that are similar. Or like if I find an artist that I like on Epidemic Sound, then I'm stalking all of their music. So you really got to go into, you know, those tunnels and just in the Epidemic black hole. And anyways, but I really love, like, I'll often just, if I have a free night, I'll sift through and I'll just start pulling songs that inspire something for me. And oftentimes, like, I love to be creative with, for example, like my intro. And oftentimes it is song first. Yeah, like my most recent video, it was like a silent little conversation that I had with my dogs.
I've never felt more seen in my life, especially as someone who works from home, who's a creative. My dog comes up to me 3 times a day with those eyes.
With those eyes, you know it.
I'm like,
where they just stare at you.
I'm like, do you like your nice $250 a month food? Do you like your nice home and all the nice collars you have? I have to work.
I know. And you're like, I took you on a walk this morning.
I took you on an hour walk this morning. What else do you want? I'm like, I have an Australian Shepherd. He needs activity.
Yes.
He needs an hour every day.
Yeah.
And it's been a good practice for me to like give him that time. But like, I loved that intro.
Yeah, you
I felt
get it.
So I was like, I feel seen.
It's needy hour. That's what I call it.
And it's usually around 4 or 5 o'clock. Hour.
Yes, always.
Every day.
Always, yes. Yeah. Midday.
But I loved that intro. I loved the March intro of you pulling down the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's actually, it was so amazing to watch these videos and be like, this is skill. And then go in your comments and see people being like, your Milan video especially, someone was like, I feel like I just watched a 90s rom-com.
Oh, that's very sweet.
It's really resonating. And I think you're really talented in specific. I mean, you're talented in a lot, but that specifically is like, I was blown away.
Thank you. Thank you. Ultimately, I feel like obviously TikTok is still so massive, and with IG Reels, like vertical content is certainly where we are at. But I do feel like there has been sort of like this growing interest in YouTube again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
Very
know if that's
so.
Just like between like my friends and I, but I certainly feel that way. I think long form content the thing that like short form, like what freaks me out about it is just that it's so fast and it's so out of your control with what you're watching, where like, you know, in 10 seconds I'm happy and then I'm devastated and then I'm suddenly concerned. Like there's, you're being thrown like so many things that by the time you get off the app, you're like, I don't even know what to feel anymore. I've really been like finding myself enjoying YouTube again because there's less of that. You know what I mean? You have more choice in like what you're clicking. And then you're like, okay, I know that this is the choice I've made and I'm going to have this vibe for the next 20 minutes, you know?
Something that I've struggled with Instagram too is authenticity and the ability to connect with someone only go so far.
That's true too.
There was something way more soothing and authentically narrative driven than just kind of flipping through a feed. So I think people are craving that. I think people, you know, especially with TikTok being so big and it being boom, 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 like things so quickly, I think people are craving ways to get to know creators that they love in a deeper way. And that's why I think YouTube has had kind of a sudden interest again. I think something I've really admired that you've done very well is growing up online, starting at 13. I mean, I started at 19. 13 is young.
It is,
and
yes.
Being able to really pivot with so much agility, like YouTuber, actress, now brand owner. Mm-hmm. Like, talk me through a little bit about one, that choice to step away from YouTube for a bit and kind of what the learning was that has made you so successful now.
I feel like I have never rushed into things too quickly. That is like the first thing that's coming to mind right now. I feel like, I don't know, I feel that I've always kind of taken like a slow and steady approach, which like, I don't even know if that's the best advice to give, to be honest, because I think about my like, kind of like busiest years with YouTube where I felt like YouTube was it. It's 2014, YouTube is the thing, you know? And so many creators were like collaborating and just like really taking advantage of just what sort of like content was just blowing up at that time, you know, whether that is like using clickbait titles and thumbnails and all these things. And like, I just remember carrying just myself through all those seasons and just kind of like pushing that aside and continuing to do my own thing. And I just think like through every step of the way. So when I think about acting now, or now as I change to that topic, I really, and still to this day, I'm very, very intentional with like the choices that I make and what I'm actually auditioning for, and making sure that I took different types of classes for a really long time, you know, doing partner scenes and one-on-one coaching and classes. And I think I also wanted to dive into entrepreneurship and brand owning and founding and building in that approach as well. I really took my time with it. And I think ultimately, like in choosing like that approach, it just allows you to catch any mistake before it's too late, if that makes sense. You know, I just like think about, I guess, like the time we're living in and like virality and just like the way that people can blow up on TikTok for like a certain thing. And then suddenly the entire world expects them to only do that thing. And I have always feared that, putting myself into that bucket or position, because I want the freedom to be able to grow and evolve. And I think living my life online for so many years through like all of the pivotal moments of like braces to moving out to boyfriends to breakups to moving into a home, all this stuff, like I've always wanted to make sure to, not like pigeon myself in any sort of way where suddenly people are expecting me to never grow up and to never change. And so it's interesting to now watch like how viral things can happen, and then just watching people navigate how to then leave those boxes that people like create.
It's really tough.
Sorry, this is a bit, I just went on a big tangent.
No. I love the tangent. I've felt the same way. I mean, I've started when I was 19. And even when I started the OG version of this podcast, there was a point in time where I was like, I am bound to this thing and it's not serving me anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think the necessity to have no ego in whatever you're doing professionally, I mean, also in life, to be able to just let go of whatever your perception of something is or someone else's perception of you is, and just do the thing that feels most authentic and real to you, even if that means like having to say goodbye to something that you've built, or if it means having to take a very vulnerable step into something, I think it's really crucial. I remember watching the video that you posted on YouTube that was like, something needs to change. I distinctly remember that. And I think, too, it was one of the first times I'd seen a creator be vulnerable about, like, having to live life authentically online while also making money, while also leaning into trends that are working so that you do grow as a business. It's a really slippery slope. And it was actually wonderful to see, again, the comments on that post of your audience appreciating that vulnerability and saying, kind of do what you need to do. We'll be here afterwards. And to me, that strength in a community obviously is so telling of you. Mm. But I think people want that. I think it's important to show that side.
It is so important. I just feel like you have to protect yourself if
Absolutely.
if you're in this industry and you're showing real parts of yourself and real parts of your life. It's really, really important. And it's easy to kind of not prioritize that when shit is working, numbers are growing, all this right. stuff, whatever, you know, and opportunities start arising. But like it is very, that protection is really, really important.
I know that you did I Love My Dad 2022.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was the era. And we're still kind of in that era where like the YouTube to TV pipeline.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? Like, what do mm-hmm. you think resonates for YouTubers who are looking to move into quite literally a larger screen?
Yeah, I remember when I first started out, it's something that I've definitely had to find myself in like a healthy headspace about it. For starters, what I was kind of saying earlier, that like, if you really, really are interested in doing something, like taking your time with it, making sure that you take classes and you understand and respect whatever art form you're going into, I think that can really be seen and felt versus someone who's just like jumping onto something because they're like, hell yeah, this is a lot of money, or this is an opportunity to, you know, get to be in front of like a camera that maybe isn't my own camera. And so it's tricky because, yeah, as to what you're saying, like we've seen that crossover happen both successfully and unsuccessfully in the way that like it's been received. The other tricky thing was I remember for so many years feeling obviously so proud of the platform that I had built and where it's taken me. But at the same time, I knew that it was being perceived in a different way via, you know, casting directors or production companies because the word YouTuber like had this stereotype to it. That's really tricky too. An old team member of mine who I no longer work with admitted that she kind of picked and chose like which casting directors she would even mention that I made YouTube videos, which was really sad to hear because I was like, oh, that's telling me that you don't get it. And so I don't even know if I have like some ultimate answer or solution to this, but it's like I'm trying to just take the slow and steady approach. And like, I understand that like that stereotype and maybe that sort of preset kind of like whatever notion like hasn't fully dissolved. But at the end of the day, I will say I do feel like the lines are blurring so much between each industry, and just seeing like traditional talent really embrace fully like the online space. And so I think now kind of vice versa, online creators are also receiving that same amount of like respect and grace. But I think these things like just take time. I think also like I'm just not worried because life is long. I'm here for the long haul. Like I'm just doing my thing.
I love that mentality.
And so when the right things come along, like they come along. And until then, like I think it's great to make sure to like pour a bit of water into every single bucket and not abandon anything when one thing becomes a higher priority or more exciting to you as well.
I want to get into Cyclar a little bit with the last remaining minutes that we have. You know, I'm such a huge fan. Like, I was not a body lotion person at all, which is crazy. I feel like you're either like in the school where like you were trained out of the shower to put body lotion everywhere. Just like wasn't part of my routine. Now, favorite step. One, texture, consistency, amazing. Mm-hmm. I love the mission. I love the packaging. I love mm-hmm. the branding, but the smell.
The smell.
Like I have people asking me like, what, like hugging me and being like, what is that? Mm-hmm. What is that? Did you like see the scent in your mind? Like how did this come to be?
When I started developing the scent, it's called Crescent, which is inspired by the name of my street growing up. And I grew up like surrounded by forests. And so that's kind of where I pulled the name, and I wanted it to be something that had like a woodsy base to it. And I think with my first scent, it's so tricky to describe it because I'll have friends or just anyone be like, okay, so is it woodsy? Is it floral? Is it a citrus? Like, what is it? It's not too musky or like too heavy, you know what I mean? And so it's like hard to describe because it has a little bit of everything in it. Like it's got some florals, it's got that bergamot kind of citrus, there's a bit of grapefruit in there too, that's like a top note that also makes it really fresh and light in the beginning. And then as it wears on your skin, that's really when like the frankincense and kind of like the woods shine the most. And so it is definitely it is a jumbled concoction, but I think it was really important for me to like set a tone with that first fragrance. And it's been so exciting hearing how many people love it. Like that has been the overwhelming response, is the fragrance, which is very exciting because we are definitely leaning in that direction moving forward. Yes.
Please make a perfume.
You
heard it here first. You heard it here first. Only because I am dying for it. Like it's actually so this morning, it was so funny. I was like putting it on my legs and I already had my clothes on and I was like, fuck, can I just like slather it on my body so I smell like it? Do I have to take my top off and like put it on my body? And I was like, I need a perfume.
It's so good. It's so good.
And I'd love to know, why body care?
Yeah, I think for starters, like I think that is a space that still felt like there was, I mean, here's the thing. It's, you know, obviously like the beauty industry, there are so many brands and so many wonderful products that already exist and everything. And I think I like really wanted to tackle this like multi-sensorial experience, and like body care was the first that came to mind for me. I also am very interested in like skincare focused ingredients in body care, and I'm excited to continue to dive into that direction and sort of like treating your body like your face almost in a sense.
Yeah. And again, even what I said, like overlooked.
Totally.
Like I'm using the most expensive skincare. Like, what am I doing?
I know.
And I'll never forget, Barbara Sturm was giving me a facial once and she said, your face ends at your nipples. And I was like,
yes, that is very true. Oh, I am pulling everything down.
Yeah.
Everything down for sure. And yeah, I also just felt like body care was a fun space to play in that truly everyone can enjoy too. I wanted to create a gender neutral brand that like could just sit on anyone's counter and in anyone's bathroom. And so that also just felt like a fun place to sit in as well. And I think also understanding like I'm not an esthetician, or I wanted to choose a category that felt authentic. I just like from a third person view, you know what I mean? Like I've grown up making videos in every single category, skincare, you know, fashion, makeup, all these things, but like I'm certainly not hyper focused on like skincare, for example. And so I felt like maybe I'm gonna leave that to the people who really get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
And so I'm excited now. I've got a team of like experts that we're really kind of gonna like elevate the ingredients that we're using for our future products. So that will be super fun to explore and continue to learn about. But like I just felt like, I don't know. It's like sometimes when you know, you know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like, yeah, it's going to be body. It's going
to
be body.
It has to be like that guttural feeling. You're like, that's my thing.
Yeah. Sometimes not like the most satisfying answer to give. But like also like there were so many different aspects of building Cycler that just got me so excited, even down to just like literally the design of the brand. And like, you know, you go on the homepage and like the video that's playing on the homepage is all footage that I filmed with my camera that I normally film my YouTube videos with, and I edit it together, and like bringing together like friends to shoot the product and all of that. Like there's so many aspects of brand building that just allowed, like it just created a whole new avenue to pour my creativity into that wasn't necessarily focused around like my face and my name and my likeness and all these things. And that also has just been super fun. I feel so lucky in that I have the time and the resources to get to start something from scratch and try it out. And, you know, hopefully it's received well. And so far it has been, which is amazing. And so I don't know. I just like, we're figuring it out, you know?
I love. I mean, and you just had major news investment from the center, which is, you know, they have Make Beauty, they have Fleur.
Yeah.
Huge for you guys. I'm so excited to see what you guys build with that.
Yeah. It's going to be.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very, very much. Very, very feeling very grateful. Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm waiting over here with bated breath.
We are cooking. We are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I saw that news drop and I was like, okay, they're cooking with fire now.
I know.
Mm-hmm. I love the choice. I think a lot of brands can, you know, play that long game of like, okay, we're going to wait 5 years to take any investment or something like that. But I think he went a really strategic route, and I can tell that whatever's coming out of it is going to be great.
It's also like such a people business. The minute I met Ben, like we hit it off immediately. And just, yeah, again, like, you know, when you know, you know.
As Lana says, when you know, you know. Yeah, crucial.
Very excited. So much to come.
Can't wait. Thanks for coming on today.
Of course. This was so fun.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.